Either a box of chocolates or a bunch of well overpriced garage flowers. But this is it's running by so quickly. Already the second week of February is over. So we are at least 6 weeks into this year. So if you don't get your sprouts on soon, they won't be ready by Christmas. But one of the things that is happening, obviously, this week, this week is Shrove Tuesday, and followed by Ash Wednesday. And because it's Ash Wednesday, it is the first day of Lent. If I can get this out loud, it'll be a miracle. So I was wondering, I was thinking, what we should be doing as a church as a set of Lent Bible studies. And someone had said to me a little while ago that one of the hymns that we had sung that Sunday, Chris' friend used to find very difficult. And that was the hymn, I Surrender All. You know, all to Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give, and I was thinking, what do we? I know, are we good at doing that? Are we good at giving stuff up to Jesus, to God? You might think in our heads that we are, but if we looked at it on paper, would we actually be doing that in reality? And obviously, with it being the lead up to Passion Week, another postman. So our Bible studies are going to be entitled, the main title is Take Up the Cross, and then the byline, I Surrender All? And so over the next 7 Wednesdays, which will take us into Holy Week, these are the topics that I have chosen. And so this Wednesday, we will be looking at wealth. And that is one of the, for me, and please don't get me wrong, all that I am teaching or all we are discussing here, I am learning for myself as well. We are exploring these together. So this week it will be wealth. And I thought an overview of Matthew, the tax collector. First gospel in the New Testament. So, you know, an important figure. But he was a tax collector. So let's have a look at Matthew. And then obviously the great, the ideal one for wealth is our dear friend Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, like me, was a small man. And then second, time. How good are we at time for God? Giving our time to God. Oh, I pray for a quarter of an hour every day. A quarter of an hour, that's 1/96th of the day. It sort of puts it into perspective. So those are, as we will go through, looking and staying alert in the days that are evil, because we need to. We need to be aware that the days are evil. And as Christians, we need to make time that is holy. And that is what that one is about. Then status. Now, I'm wearing this. This is the first time I've worn this one today. And as soon as Dave saw it, he said, oh, good morning, Bishop. As far as I was concerned, it's just a nice colour. But so many church people get hung up on their position in the church. But we shouldn't. Because the greatest position that we can hold in the church is to say that we are a Christian. And as soon as we said that, Nothing else can come above that. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. And anything that I do is in service because I am a child of God. And so to look at status. And the two, these, please don't get me wrong. These have come to me in the middle of the night and sometimes when I'm sitting in a certain place cogitating. And so Moses. Sorry, Brian got it, sorry. So Moses, who went from prince to being a rebel leader. And then you've got Joseph, who in effect goes the other way, who goes from being a prisoner to becoming the chancellor of the land. So we want to look at those two and what they can teach us as to what status is all about. Friends and acquaintances, now that's a difficult one. But Jesus says himself, you know, you must forsake friends and family to follow him. But they are friends and family who are going in the wrong direction. They're the ones coming with you, supporting you, helping you. They're great. How often is it that we have friends who are perhaps a little bit too keen on the smutty joke? Too keen on the smutty pictures and so on. Whose language. Now, I've told you before, I was at one stage the mess manager for Buckley Barracks and Abington. And I was mess manager for the officers and senior NCO's mess. And the worst day of every month was the day I gave out the mess bill. Because no matter how careful I had been, every officer and every senior NCO believed that his mess bill wasn't right. I didn't drink that much that night, and I can't remember having that meal. And so you go through the books to make sure. So one day I was there, and I rushed to work. So I'd taken my Bible study with me. And I was doing my Bible study when one of the captains came in. And I could see, you know, red in the face, he's ready for a fight. He saw me reading the Bible. Oh, so you're one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. So you're a Christian then? So yes, I'm a Christian and I go out and I preach and teach. Oh, I can see we're going to have to be careful around you. And so they made me a plaque that went above my desk that said, "This is a respect zone. No swearing or abuse." Oh, that was wonderful. So that comfort zone. There are times, I've experienced it on many occasions, when God wants us to move out of our comfort zone. We were very happy in Tetbury. Very happy. I was very happy being the deputy head of Burton Hill House School. Very happy. But then Phil, the head one day, a wonderful Christian, said to me, "You really need to be a headmaster." So I thought, well, Phil is saying it to me, either he wants to get rid of me or he thinks I've got something that I can give. And so I was applying, but what we used to do is get Times Education Supplement. We'd do half a dozen letters, take them to the post office, open up the Times, and then just put in the envelopes and then pop them in the post. And so I applied to two schools in South Wales, one in Merthyr Tydfil and one in Aberdeen. So I got an interview for the one in Merthyr Tydfil, and when I went there, Merthyr Tydfil hadn't even started its clean-up, should we say, and it didn't happen. Next week I was going to Aberdeen, and as I came off the 470 and I was driving up the road to Aberdeen, for anyone who knows it, you go through Mountain Ash, and when you went through Mountain Ash, the colliery line was still going across the road, the Furnacite plant was still pumping out noxious fumes, the slag heaps were absolutely black everywhere. And as I was driving, I was thinking, "Lord, why are you bringing me here? It looks awful." And our children, when the first time we took children, "I know why it's called Mountain Ash." "Oh, why is that fun?" "Because there's mountains of ash." got into Aberdare, and Aberdare is a lovely little town with a lovely park and so on. So when I got the job, I was the most surprised of all. But it took me out of my, you know, I'm an Englishman in Wales. There's something immediate. I went and did, I went to, one of the things we were saving, getting money for was for a hydrotherapy course. And this motorcycle club had raised some money, so I was to go along to a public house in Tongrilais to receive a cheque from them. Now, me being me, I thought motorcycle club, it'd be people with gruff superiors and triumphs and so on. No. This was leather jackets, Harley Davidsons, metal studs, or so. So I go up to the bar in Tongrilais and I ask for an orange juice and lemonade. We don't serve the likes of you in here. And then this, all I can call it is a shadow, came behind me. He's with us. He's all right. And they were the loveliest blokes going. But moving out of our comfort zone. We know where we are. We know what we're doing. And then the Lord says, no, but I want you to move somewhere else. Are we prepared to do that? Employment is the mode of employment that we are in, the one which is serving the Lord the best. And that's a difficult one because, with the employment situation the way it is at the moment, sometimes you take what you can get. And then you have to mold it, so that it becomes what the Lord wants it to be. But if you are a Christian in that setting, I've just told you one story. Now that may well be right. And then the last one, habit and tradition. There are certain words that can kill a church off quickly. There are certain churches. There are certain words. We've always done it this way, so why should we change? That won't work. Yeah? Who do you think you are trying to change us? And it just all falls away. So that idea of getting bogged down in habits and tradition can stop the Holy Spirit from working in us because it's putting a wall. And all of those can put up a wall to moving forwards, taking up our cross. And I've taken up far too much of your time with that, so I do apologize. If anyone has a roast meal in the oven, I apologize. I just want to spend a few minutes, and I do mean a few minutes, because I know that time is moving on, looking at that passage from Matthew chapter 16. Because it has a lot, in general terms, to speak about that idea, that principle of taking up the cross. But when we look at the first part of what we read, he is already teaching his disciples about his death. Now, I don't know about you, but I would find that very difficult. If I was a friend and a follower of someone, and I'd been with them for 3 years, and one day they said to me, now, I must go to Liverpool. I must go to Liverpool because that's where I'm going to die. What would be your first reaction? Then don't go to Liverpool. Tommy Cooper told a joke. I broke my arm in 3 places. I don't go to those places anymore. But here, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And what's the first thing that we learn from this passage? Jesus, he's not asking them because he's feeling his ego is a bit bruised. He's not asking for that. He wants to know how deeply the disciples have appreciated what he has told them. He wants them to know exactly who he is. Because if he isn't who he is, then going to Jerusalem is a futile gesture. But it isn't a futile gesture, we know that. So he needs to know how far have the disciples come in their understanding of who I am. They may call different ideas. Some say Jonah, some say Isaiah, some say Jeremiah, other prophets. And it's Peter, with his size 10 boots, who jumps in. You are the Messiah, the Son of God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you because this has been revealed to you from heaven, not by the will of man. Wow. So they're all going to be there. This is the Messiah. Didn't we learn about him in Sunday school in the synagogue? Didn't we learn about this one who was supposed to be coming, who will be called the Messiah because he would save his people? Isn't he the one that all the prophets talked about and said, once he comes, rough places will be made smooth, the storms will cease, everyone will come to him. And here he is amongst us. Peter. Now the problem with the Bible in this context here is that it moves in word form rather quickly. But it may have been some days, some weeks later when Jesus said to them, I must go to Jerusalem to die. And Peter, again, with his size 10s and his mouth wide open, put both feet in it. No, Lord, I will not let that happen to you. And so Jesus rebukes him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh my word. How Peter must have felt after that. One, he's going to build his church on what I will do. And now he's telling me I'm part of Satan's horde. It's very clear that it is Satan in his heart, directing him. So here, having learned all of that, we need to know what it means to take up the cross. Jesus willingly went to Calvary for us. He denied himself all in order that we might be redeemed. He surrendered all. Now, I don't know about you, but on Thursday when we went to get Lily after her operation, I sat in the passenger seat as my daughter drove the car. Now, I'm not a good passenger at the best of times, but my daughter is only 5 foot and nothing, has a very heavy foot. And it's a large automatic that they drive, and so she races away. and then slams on the ankle. There's no gradual. Softly. So to begin with, I have my fingernails into the dashboard. And I was pushing my feet through the floor pan. But I came to the conclusion, doing that isn't going to do me any good. I have given over control of this vehicle to my daughter. So why not just sit there and absorb it? And that's what this is all about. Who is in control of your life? And I've chosen the seven that can be in control of our life, or rather, guiding our lives forward. And so what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and is saying to us, are we willing to hand over our will to God? Are we willing to allow God, knowing our situation as well as he does, to steer us and to guide us? Take up your cross. It means picking up God's will. And the only way we can learn God's will is through prayer, through meditation on his word, and through reading it. And that's why it's so important that we spend time in prayer. We spend time in Bible study. Because that is the only way that he will reveal to us what his will is. So why should I give up my will? Why did Jesus so willingly go to the cross in order that my will can be saved? So if we look at the cross, there's two lines. One line going that way, and one line going that way. If that is my way, my will, there's something wrong with that. My will, as you have seen this morning, is not perfect. My will is flawed. I make mistakes. I'm a human being. My will is flawed. That's why we've got a chat that I wouldn't dream of doing. We've got a chat coming in on Thursday to start doing the audiovisual aid work. I wouldn't dream of doing it. You call in an expert. That's why I love having David Perry on the machines at the back. My work is limited in its vision and its purpose. Is limited because my brain is limited. So I see what I want to see. My purpose is what I want to do. And my will, and this my will is often loaded with looking out for myself. Yes? We want the best for ourselves. So that's my will going in that one direction. But God's will is that one. God's will is always perfect. Because God is perfect. God's will is always pure, because God's will is pure. And God's will is no respecter of riches, or poor, learned, or ignorant. It has no worries about the color of your skin. God's will is for everyone. And the other great thing with that is, whilst my will come to an end when I die, God's will is eternal, never ending. And that's what we need to cling to. And that's what God gives us as Christians. He says, if you hand over your will to me, I will give you a vision, an ongoing vision, a vision that will take you into eternity and beyond. So if we are picking up God's will, if we are taking up our cross, if we are following God's word, then we are going in the same direction. And as my direction was that way, God's direction is that way. So if I'm going in God's direction, I know what my destiny is. I know what my destination is. I know that the kingdom of heaven is for me when I get there. And please, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get there too soon. But I'm not afraid of dying. I've said this before. I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Now, let's say, so we're looking at God's will. And if we are knowing that we are going to heaven, if we know that, why is Paul able to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? It doesn't matter whether I am alive or I am dead. Christ is my destination. The heavenly realm is my destination. If I stay here on earth, I will do more of God's work. But if he takes me, hallelujah, I'm in the heavenly realm. So we need to follow. We need to follow. And I said last week about the horses up and down the hills and so on. It's so true. We are following the guidance of our Lord Christ and our God. And if we have the Holy Spirit truly within us, then that will happen. He will guide us. He will lead us. And if he is leading us, he will protect us from harm. God will never put upon you more than you can bear. He says that in his word. I will never, says, the reed which is bruised, I will not break, but I will build it up. That's why those of us who have husbands and wives, they are the ones who are there to uphold us and support us when things are not going as well as we hope. That is why, as a church, we are here again to uphold those who need upholding, to help those who need helping, to pray for those who perhaps are finding their prayer times difficult, looking after. Jesus goes further than that. Those who lose their lives for his sake gain their lives. And he goes on, that little bit, which is almost from 1 Corinthians. What good is it to a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Too often, we as human beings are so consumed with the material of this world that we forget the spiritual. We're too consumed with the emotional that we forget the spiritual. We're too consumed with the physical that we forget the spiritual. And of the four of those, our spiritual health must come first. And if your doctor for your spiritual health isn't God, then you've got a real problem. Because none of the other so-called doctors and nurses can do anything about. God must be at the very heart of it. And when we come on to that point of the heart, the first heart says, yes, okay, I'll listen to all that you have to say, but it's not for me. I don't want it. The second heart is a divided heart. I like some of what you're saying, so I'll follow those bits, but other bits, no, I'm not so keen on. So I'll follow you so far. Do you know where I talked about the £5 sanctity? I'll go so far, but I don't know. You can keep the rest of it. The heart that God wants from us is a heart which wholeheartedly gives itself, wholeheartedly yields to God's will. And please don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean that we shall walk 6 inches off the ground. It doesn't mean that there'll be rose petals strewn in front of us wherever we go. It doesn't mean that we won't have physical issues. It doesn't mean we won't have mental issues. Of course we will. We're human beings. Of course we will. But knowing that God is with you in all of that, oh, what comfort that is. What joy that is. Yes, things may have to change. Bad habits may have to be thrown out. Old grudges may have to be thrown away. Fear thrown out. Lust thrown out. Messed up priorities thrown out. Why? Because God loves us so much. He wants to be the leader, the captain, the champion of our hearts. Oh, my friend. And I'm talking to myself as much as I am talking to you. If I was able to live a life that was wholly, 100% surrendered to God, what a force I and we could be to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.